Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you sent your Son to redeem us, that we might know you, that we might come together this morning in your presence to worship you. Father, as we do so, we ask that you would speak to us through your word in such a way that we might hear your voice clearly, that we might understand your love more deeply. Father, that we might choose to follow you throughout every day of our lives. Use this time toward that end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This being Memorial Day weekend, it is a time that we watch the Indianapolis 500 and eat hot dogs and... What do you mean, no? Okay, maybe that's not how it got started. We do that stuff, but yeah. But we also know and that this is a time we remember and express gratitude for those men and women who have given their lives in the service of our country. They were people with families and friends, lives on the home front, which they sacrificed in order to help preserve that for others. In other words, they gave their lives to preserve life for others. Memorial Day is our official time, formally designated to remember and offer thanks for what they did. Yesterday, we had the burial service for our longtime friend and fellow parishioner, Drew Young. We have been praying for and with Drew and Betty for quite some time. Having died last Monday, yesterday was our opportunity to offer our formal farewell, to remember and give thanks to God for Drew and all he has meant to us. While Drew never served in the military forces of our nation, he most definitely invested his life in serving the Lord in the context of our parish family. Those of you who were here heard me mention his involvement with our worship planning team. You may or may not be familiar with that group. In that group, we worked together to prayerfully plan our regular worship services. Typically, we'll take on a season at a time. We split up the lessons among the group for each person to read and reflect over the course of a month or so. And then we come back together to share our thoughts and identify themes with which we make plans for music and hymns and sermons and other ways to encourage and focus our time of worship. That is how we developed our approach to this year's Easter season with its theme, Jesus is Alive. With an obvious emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus, we have been looking at the implications of who he is and what that means for us. As it has worked out, today's lessons are the ones assigned to Drew for our planning back in February. Personally, I find a poignancy in that. For these last 3 weeks of the season, we have been sitting in on the conversation Jesus had with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. His final words to them captured in that pivotal description Jesus gives of himself, saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." At the end of their time in the upper room, the disciples listen in as Jesus prays. He prays for the Father's glory, for those disciples' preservation, and for the future believers' unity. In this first part of Jesus' prayer, we hear him make the connections of true life being found in relationship with him. We come to more fully understand what it means to know Jesus as the life. First, in the context of Jesus' prayer, note that we learn that the essence of life involves knowing God. Jesus was praying and he said this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." created by God to live with Him, we have been separated from God by our own sinful rebellion. Jesus came that we might have life again. As long as people have existed, there has been the desire to know the meaning of life, what it's all about at its very core. When pursued in isolation, people have been very frustrated in trying to figure that out. Do you remember the movie City Slickers with Billy Crystal? It came out about 1991. He played a guy from New York named Mitch, having a struggle with figuring out the meaning of life. For his 40th birthday, he and two friends decide to go out west to participate in a cattle drive like old-time cowboys. There's a classic scene in the movie where Mitch and the crusty old cowboy named Curly, played by Jack Palance, are riding along on their horses talking about life. And Curly says, I'm not going to try and imitate his voice, I can't do that. Curly says, you all come up here about the same age, the same problems. You spend about 50 weeks a year getting knots in your rope, and then you think 2 weeks up here will untie them for you. None of you get it. Stopping their horses, Curly looks at Mitch and says, you know what the secret of life is? With hopeful anticipation, Mitch looks at him and says, know what? Curly holds up a finger and says, one thing, just one thing. Mitch responds, that's great, but what's the one thing? Curly answers, that's what you've got to figure out. As Curly rides off, Mitch is left sitting there on his horse, looking at his finger. While I hesitate to build my understanding of life and my view of God around a Billy Crystal movie, this does capture something for us, doesn't it? That struggle that people go through. But rather than floundering along on our own to figure it out, God has chosen to make Himself known to us, sending His Son Jesus to explain it and to redeem us to Himself. You see, He wants us to know Him, to know the fullness of life that comes with knowing Him. The scope includes but reaches beyond the confines of our earthly existence to what is described as eternal life. The key to eternal life being found in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. When Jesus speaks of knowing Him and knowing the Father, He is describing a relationship in which we grow in knowing information about Him and what He has to say to us, a relationship in which we grow in our faithful obedience to Him, as we heard last week. But it is also a relationship where we are brought into union with Him. By virtue of that relationship with Him, we are united with the Father, knowing Him because we know Jesus. The Savior who laid down His life for us and on the third day rose again is the living Lord who gives us life in knowing God. That is the glory of the Father revealed in the Son. And second, from Jesus' prayer, note the basis for our security as God's redeemed people. In verse 11, we read, again, it's Jesus still praying, and He says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. He's looking forward to His ascension. It's still, yeah, some days ahead, but He is speaking as if it's an already done fact, because He knows it's going to happen. So He recognizes, yes, He's going to be with the Father, but then He prays, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one even as We are one. The prayer from the lips of Jesus becomes a promise of the stated intentions of God. Trusting in Him as our Savior and following Him as our Lord is met by His unshakable grip on us. We find rest and refreshment and comfort and confidence in knowing him as our good shepherd. We hear Jesus say it in so many ways, don't we? He talks about how we are held in God's hand and no one can take us from the Father's hand. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That he is with us always, even unto the end of this age. That's the promise. In his terrific book, The Cross of Christ, John Stott discusses some of the implications of this new relationship we have to God. He writes, "This intimate relationship to God, which has replaced the old and painful estrangement, has several characteristics." He goes on, referring to boldness exhibited through plainness of speech in both prayer and proclamation, because we don't have to play games anymore. We are secure in Christ. Love flowing from knowing we have been loved perfectly by God and freeing us to love him and others without fear, since perfect love casts out fear. Joy in having the assurance, having been redeemed in Christ. Our sadness, our mourning turned into gladness. Which leads him to point out, because we know that life in Christ, the Christian community is a community of celebration, praising our Creator and Redeemer. One of the insights Drew Young shared about the lessons this week was that Jesus prayed that the disciples believe in who he is and all he had said. It's a good insight, which invites response. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, because he took our sins upon himself on the cross, we can know God's forgiveness and reconciliation. Trusting in him as our Savior, we are saved. As the Apostle Paul writes, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can know the power of the resurrection in our own lives. Following him as Lord, we know what it means to live eternal life now and forever. We heard it from Jesus last week. Because I live, you shall live also. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There was a period of time back in the late 1960s, early 70s. It was common among Christians to proclaim their faith in Jesus by holding up one finger. Some of you remember that? I do, like it was yesterday. It was a joyful way of professing faith in Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. And whenever I saw others hold up their finger or did it myself, it was always with a smile, because we knew it represented the ultimate secret to life. A secret that has been revealed to all and for all. In Christ, we are given eternal life with God. There may be some here this morning that have been longing to know that life, but have never taken the step to truly embrace Jesus for who he is and what he's done for you. I want to give you that opportunity to take that intentional step of faith, to believe and receive him, to accept him as your Savior and commit your life to him as your Lord. If you want to do that, I invite you to pray with me now. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me even though I have turned away from you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, taking the punishment for my sins on yourself. I choose to put my trust in you for my salvation. I choose to commit myself to life with you as my Lord. I ask that you forgive me for my sins. I pray that you strengthen me to live my life as you want me to live. I thank you for coming into my life even now, that I may have eternal life forever. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer this morning, let me know, because I have some things I want to share with you before you leave today. And now let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have not left us sitting on a horse in the middle of nowhere staring at our finger, but you have come to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, to tell us about your immeasurable love for us, and to demonstrate that love by Jesus taking our sin upon himself on the cross as our Savior. Father, for those who know that to be true and who seek to follow him as Lord, whether they've been doing it for years, are choosing to start doing it this morning, I pray that you keep them safe in the palm of your hand. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.